It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. You know, I really get excited when it comes to sharing the Word of God with you. And today we're continuing our study in the book of Romans. We're going to pick up with Romans chapter 10 and verse 15. And as we look at chapter 10 and verse 15, well, of course, we left off with verse 16, but we're going to pick up in verse 15 that says, "Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Well, this is speaking, of course, to Christians, that they are to be ready to give an answer to those who would ask them, "How do you know you're on your way to heaven?" Well, we are to have our feet shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we are to be familiar with the Word of God. Also, when we think of this, we can give a testimony as to how we got saved, what happened to us when we gave our life, our heart to the Lord Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 16, it says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Well, people today have not followed the instructions of the gospel. Romans chapter 10 and verse 16 in the first part says that they have not all obeyed the gospel, that everybody is not saved. It makes no difference who you are, whether you're a Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Pentecostal, or what have you, it doesn't save you. What saves a person is by obeying the gospel. And that gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. You must realize that you are lost without Jesus Christ. You must receive Jesus as your Savior in order to be obeying the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus came to save, that He will save those who will call upon Him and ask Him into their hearts. Everybody's not following the instruction of the gospel, according to Romans chapter 10 and the first part of verse 16. Well, then we see the rest of that verse that says, we know everyone has not followed the instruction of the gospel because of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and verse 1, which says there, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, Paul quotes Isaiah here in verse 16. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" Once again, the arm of the Lord has been revealed to the people of this world. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "So then," well, how do people obey the gospel? How do people know that the gospel has been revealed and so forth? It says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So we can conclude by what has been said that the way faith comes to a person is by being made aware of faith through God's word. It's by God's word that a person is saved. Romans chapter 10 and verse 18 goes on to say, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out or went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." Well, verse 16 says, all have not believed. Didn't they hear? According to Romans chapter 10, verse 18, the question was asked, didn't they all hear it? Paul goes on to say, yes, truly, without a doubt, God has been proclaimed everywhere in the world. Romans chapter 10 and verse 18 talks about this, and Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Psalm 19 and verse 4 says, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun." See, no one is without excuse. No one has an excuse not to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about people who have never read God's word? Well, we see God all around us. We see God's word that became visible. We see the creation of God, His handiwork. We see God in everything in this world. So the Bible says people are without excuse. And that is God's word, as well as his written word. We know that Jesus is the living word of God because it says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So people are without excuse when they say, well, you know, I don't know about God. Well, that's not true. Every person in this world who has ever lived and who is living now and who will live in the future, these people are without excuse. If they have never trusted Christ as Savior, everybody has the knowledge of God because it is called God acknowledgement. In other words, the people know it's God consciousness because we have the witness of God all around us. Now, that doesn't excuse us for not taking the word to people. That doesn't stop our responsibility as saved people of telling other people how to be saved and how to go to heaven. We need to share the word, the written word, with people and tell them about Jesus Christ. Now we look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 19, and we see here in 19 through 21 that Israel's neglect and the Gentiles' reception are foreseen by the scriptures. Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 19 says, but I say, did not Israel know? First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Well, Paul goes on to explain to us that there is no person without excuse. There is no person with an excuse in this world. The Jewish people and the Gentile people, the Gentiles are anyone who is not a Jew. Paul says in verse 19, therefore, I asked, didn't Israel know? And he goes on to say, Moses said, because of Israel provoking God to jealousy with that which is not God, he would provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a people and fools in their sight. And when doing so, it would extremely anger the Jewish people. The Jewish people would be angered because God has grafted in Gentile people. Those people who are not Jewish people have been grafted in, given the opportunity, in other words, to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Jewish people rejected him as Messiah. So God says, okay, you're a stiff-necked people, so I'm going to graft in people who are not a people. That is, not a people according to the Jews. The Jewish people looked upon the Gentile people as dogs throughout history, as unfit for the kingdom of God. But God says because of their stiff-necked rebellion against him, the Jewish people would see and understand eventually that God has grafted in everyone in this world who wants to be saved. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21, it says, they have moved me to jealousy. You see, that's talking about God. And God says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Foolish nation here, meaning a Gentile people. And of course, Paul is quoting this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 21, the Old Testament. Well, the Israelites chose another God. He would choose another people. And the Jewish people are God's people. And once again, by studying the Word of God, we know that we are to pray for the Jewish nation and we are to uphold them. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And God gave a promise way back hundreds of years ago that said those people who bless Israel will be blessed. So God has not said, okay, I'm finished with you, Israel. God has simply said, I'm grafting in people who have not been grafted in before. They have not been recognized by you, speaking to Israel. And by doing that, God is provoking Israel to jealousy. In other words, he's trying to bring them to their senses. God has not forsaken his people. Romans chapter 10, verses 20 through 21 say this, but Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Well, God says, I have given the Israelite people things that they needed to know in order to come to me and serve me. but they did not serve me. They did not do what I asked them to do. Therefore, it says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 20, that God was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. In other words, they did not ask after God. And that's the Gentile people. Anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, anyone who is willing to listen, are the ones who have been grafted in. And Isaiah said boldly in Isaiah 65 verses 1 and 2, I am sought of them that asked not for me. Well, this is Paul once again quoting Isaiah 65 verses 1 and 2, as we see in him quoting that in Romans chapter 10 verses 20 and 21. Well, the words made manifest means revealed. God has been revealed to Israel. God has been revealed to the Gentile nations now. The Gentiles did not seek after the Lord, but God sought after them and found them. Romans chapter 9 and verse 30 talks about this, and also we see in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 30, it says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have not obtained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. See, everyone is saved the same way. We're saved by God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Paul's trying to get across to the Jewish people and to the people who are saved. And he's writing to save people. He's reminding people how they got saved and their duties to save people. We're going to see that in just a few lessons here as we continue on. Someone says, well, why do we keep hearing this, that everyone's saved the same and you're saved by grace through faith? Because God wants to keep reminding us. He wants us to know how we got saved and how that other people can be saved. And we need to take the word to the other people of this world. As we continue on and as we look in chapter 11, there are objectives in studying this chapter. First, it's to understand how God has not totally rejected his people. And we see in chapter 10 how that God says, okay, you didn't listen, so therefore I'm going to graft in other people. In this chapter, in chapter 11, we're going to see how God has not totally rejected the people of Israel. Then secondly, we're going to see the possibility for apostasy for us today. And third is to understand Paul's summary conclusion for this section of Scripture of chapters 9 through 11. We know God loves you today, and God loves each one of us. And God wants everyone to know that they can be saved the same way that everyone else is saved, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you received him as your Savior? Do you realize that you're lost without him? There is a devil's hell waiting for those people who reject Jesus Christ. But there's a heaven waiting for those who receive him. God loves you, and he wants you to receive Jesus, his Son, as your Savior. And if you do know him today, you need to be serving him today. And remember this, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. God has given us such great honor here. We are now the sons of God, the ones who have trusted him. And you too, if you've not trusted him, you can become a child of God today by asking him to come into your heart. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Oh,